The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What did the Apostle John mean by being an overcomer? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got questions, I hope you'll reach out to us through email. Our email is radio@faithalone.org. We hope to hear from you. If you like what you hear on the show, I want to encourage you to go to faithalone.org and click on events. On there, you'll find that our National Bible Conference is coming up pretty soon. We would love to see you there. You can even register right there on the site. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, and we are back to Q&A. Are you ready for at least a few more?
I'm ready for some, yeah.
Well, I think we'll do another series fairly soon. I can't imagine on what we're going to do the series. Maybe from chapters from our book,
yeah.
Doctrine for Disciples. Actually, maybe news in relation to that. We're going to start doing some online courses is the plan. I think we're going to do 3 online courses. Is that right? We recently had a board meeting about this.
Right.
One is going to be on soteriology, taught by you. One is going to be on rewards, apparently taught by me. And the third is going to be on tough texts. Is that right?
By Ken, yes.
By Ken.
The purpose of this is twofold. One, it's to help Bible college and seminary students be inoculated against the viruses of lordship salvation and work salvation and perseverance theology and the lack of teaching on eternal rewards, etc.,
right.
All the confusion that they can get. But secondarily, it's also for non-theological students, but people who are pastors, deacons, elders, deaconesses, Bible study teachers, you know, Sunday school teachers, anybody that is ministering that wants some additional training in these areas.
Right. So we're going to start with those 3 subjects, and you'll probably see news about that on our website soon. I think our goal is to have at least one of the classes ready to go by, but preferably all 3 ready to go
before the rapture.
By September, before the rapture.
Yeah.
Before the rapture sometime, before we die.
Yeah. You have a long way to go, but
you know, only the Lord knows
that's
that.
That's right, that's right.
All right, here's a question from Bruce. It's a good question, but I am a little confused because in this question he keeps on referring to Scott, someone named Scott. I have no idea who Scott is. Do you, any idea? Is it a commentator?
I think I answered this email, and I think Scott may be a pastor. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Some Bible teacher he knows named Scott, who was teaching about the book of Revelation.
All right, so this is a question about Revelation 3, verse 4, and verse 10. Basically, Bruce would just like us to comment about what these 2 verses mean. First one, Revelation 3, 4, 3, 5, I think, is the one he highlighted here. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He says, if you're not an overcomer or victorious, will your name be blotted out? And does overcoming or being victorious equal an overcomer in John's other letters? How long do you have to have been victorious to be an overcomer? Are those things equal to being saved? Let's start with that first. Being an overcomer is not the same as being saved.
Right. We can eliminate that.
So this is part of the doctrine of rewards. And by the way, if you took my course on rewards, you'd probably, my future course, which hasn't even really even been started
yet. But you can see it.
I could see the kinds of things
we're
going to talk
about. And you're going to fail that course if you say that non-overcomers are necessarily unregenerate.
Right, you know? Right. So an overcomer is, that's different from salvation, right? An overcomer is what?
Well, the word overcomer comes from the Greek verb nikao. The noun is called Nike. Does that sound familiar? And the reason they called that athletic company Nike is it's named after the Greek goddess of victory. And so an overcomer is a victor. It's a victorious Christian. It's
right.
It's like a gold medal Christian.
Right.
It's a medalist in the Olympics. It's someone who succeeds.
Yeah.
And so that's not the same as being a believer.
Right. You need to be a believer to be an overcomer.
Right. But in order to be an overcomer, you must be victorious in your Christian walk now.
Yeah.
And coming to his other question about how long, you can be an overcomer today and yet die as a non-overcomer.
Be a stinker.
Because you have to persevere in order to be chosen as an overcomer. In Revelation 2:26, Jesus says, "He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations." So rulership, which is what the overcomer, the victorious Christian, gets, requires that we keep on doing the works that he's called us to do. And you have lots of references to that. For example, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him.
Yeah.
So you've got to endure in your experience. So coming back to Bruce's question, you can be an overcomer today, but you're not guaranteed you'll be an overcomer tomorrow. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest after I have preached to others about eternal rewards, I myself should be adokimos, disapproved, not approved for reward, not approved for rulership." So the how long is till the rest of your life, or at least you must end your life as a victorious Christian. And is this the same as being an overcomer in 1 John 5? I would say it depends. Why don't we look over there in chapter 5, starting in verse 3. How about reading 3 through 5?
"For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Oh, okay, I could see why Bruce would link being an overcomer with salvation, because it sounds like, you know, if you believe and you're born again, then you've overcome.
Right, that's what it sounds like. I don't think that's quite what it's saying, but that's one option of what it's saying. And if that's what John means here, then the overcomers in Revelation 2 and 3 are different. Because in Revelation 2 or 3, he's not talking about their faith in Christ. All seven letters, he says this expression, "I know your works." Mm-hmm. The emphasis in the seven letters is on works,
right?
Works that are either pleasing to God or not. Here, the emphasis is not really on works. However, notice he says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. In John's Gospel, for example, 1 John 3:9, born of God often refers to that part of us that is the perfect man within, or the perfect person within.
Right, the born-again part of us, the regenerated part.
So this could say the born-again part of us overcomes the world. But in order for us to have this overcoming experience, notice it says it's either our faith, or the majority of manuscripts read your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, who is he that overcomes the world, that he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, let's say I believed that in the past, but I no longer believe that. A person who's fallen away, are they still overcoming the world according to 1 John 5:5? I'd say no. So I think what 1 John 5:3 through 5 is saying is our faith gives us the ability to overcome. If we walk by faith, then we will overcome. But as I said earlier, if we understand this to mean simply that by being a believer, in some sense, I'm a positional overcomer, okay, but that's not what Revelation 2 and 3 is talking about.
And so to his last question in Revelation 3, 4, if you're not an overcomer, if you end your life as a stinker, is there a better word for that? I don't know.
Stinker is not normally what we use in high
it's
theological.
It's not in the majority text?
No. Okay. You don't. It's not high church anyway.
It's not high church. If you die as a stinker or a loser, someone recently used that term as winners and losers,
David,
right?
Renfro and I play Canasta and we lose all the time. And so we go, loser. We're losers. Yeah.
But what does it mean that you get your name blotted out?
Okay.
So you lose your salvation.
I think the emphasis in verse 5 is on the word name, anama in Greek. And the point is, he won't blot out the name of the overcomer. He will confess the name. Now, there's two ways to understand this. One way is, literally, we're thinking of the book of life And what he's saying is, the overcomer, I'm not going to blot his name out, but instead I'm going to highlight it. I'm going to bold it or whatever. I'm going to confess it before the Father at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
Another way of understanding it is, this is figurative language, and that the word anama, or name, refers to reputation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to blot out his reputation. I'm going to confess his reputation. I'm going to exalt his reputation. But a lot of people would see this as a literal reference to the Book of Life and names in the Book of Life. I think this is actually not referring to anyone's name being taken out of the Book of Life. It's simply saying he's going to exalt. But if it is taking names out of the Book of Life, it wouldn't be removing their name. It would be removing their reputation as an overcomer.
Okay.
So imagine a phone book where you had some names highlighted, and the highlighted names would be people who gave more money to the white pages or something.
Sure.
Well, in the case of the Book of Life, the highlighted ones would be the rulers, the overcomers.
Okay.
We have a whole book on the outer darkness, which touches on this, and we also have quite a few articles on our website on the overcomer.
You'd be able to read about it in our Grace New Testament commentary, too. So.
We have a discussion of 1 John 5, the verses here, and also Revelation 2 and 3.
Yeah, it's a great resource to have, you know, for yourself. I mean, it's the kind of thing that anyone, you know, it's for normal people and pastors and elders, people who are just trying to read the Bible by themselves. If you're a researcher doing PhD work, it probably won't be that much help to you. But if you're a normal person, the Grace New Testament commentary is for you to help you understand the Bible. It gives you a little bit more depth than a study Bible, but it's written in a way that anyone can understand. And Bruce, I'd highly recommend that you pick up a copy. In fact, Bruce, I'll tell you what.
Whoa, wait a minute. What, is this going to cost us some money again?
I will give 10 copies of the Grace New Testament commentary to the very first 10 people who write in and give us your physical address, and we'll send you a copy. First 10 people. I'm feeling generous today, Bob.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, there's money just going out.
It's
hey,
okay.
For the rest of you, send in enough money to cover these 10 people.
All right, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next
time. See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss how God deals with false teachers. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.